Oh my God, I'm still making my way through the movie Novocaine that I mentioned before. Like I said, it's enjoyable, I just have been a bit scattered. And it's silly, I sometimes stress myself out over like, oh, there's so many movies I want to see, but I'll get to them or die trying. But yeah, man, I'm always in a rush, like always, I rush to appointments, I try to do things quickly. Like if there's something pending that I have to do at work, even if there's no real rush to do it, I just don't like having things hanging around, so I try to get stuff completed and then rush on to the next thing. But speaking of work, it looks like a gamble I took about the job may pay off. More on that later. I'm going to dinner tonight with a friend at some classic old school steakhouse called Laurie's The Prime Rib. It's on La Cienega. It opened in 1938, but then moved across the street to the current location. Probably one of my absolute favorite places to go is an old school steakhouse. I love everything about it. I mean, the ambiance, the look, the food, the drinks. Nothing reminds me more of the movies, especially like 1940s or 1950s movies, than a steakhouse. And speaking of restaurants, the British restaurateur, God, don't you hate that word, Keith McNally, recently wrote a book entitled I Regret Almost Everything. Pretty clever title. He famously opened some legendary restaurants, including the Odeon, which is still open in the heart of Tribeca. He also opened the Soho French Bistro Baltazar, which is a fun little place, and also Minetta Tavern. The Odeon restaurant was just the place in the 80s. I keep wanting to say the Odeon. Anyway. And the restaurant is featured in Jay McInerney's 1984 novel Bright Lights, Big City. The Odeon is also pictured on that book's cover. And Jesus, I haven't seen the movie Bright Lights, Big City in forever. That was from 1988, directed by James Bridges with Michael J. Fox. It was kind of depressing and one of those movies that, like, I did enjoy at the time, but I didn't really ever want to see again. Before we get back to Keith McNally, I feel like I know New York pretty well, but I read something the other day that I hadn't heard, and I'm sure it's known by everyone in New York. But anyway, I thought it was cool, and the phrase is, evens go east. Possible good movie title or book title there. But yeah, so the even streets, traffic travels east. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you're walking around New York City, but anyway, it just sounded cool to me. Okay, back to Keith McNally. He had a stroke several years ago, which left him with some permanent damage. He went through a serious spell of depression, but emerged from his darkness and wrote a book. He sounds like an interesting character, pretty smart dude, but I read he had some restaurant rules to live by, and here's a few of those. Okay, number one, always repeat the customer's order back to him. Skate sounds like steak after one martini. You ever had skate? I had it once. It was terrible. Number two, when waiting on someone famous, direct most of your conversation to the other people at the table, especially the spouse or partner of the famous person. It'll make their day. Number three, never rush the guest. Where possible, try to anticipate the customer's needs. This does not mean hovering over the table. Number four, when a customer pays the check in cash, never assume the change is your tip. Always return the change to the table. Number five, never offer a celebrity a free drink. Instead, offer it to a regular or the guest least expecting it. Anyway, thank you for coming in tonight. Would you like to hear today's specials?
You are my density. You are my density.
All right, so I hate the whole idea of Spotify, but it's a necessary evil for me. And like I said, I really just listen to songs and bands that I like. I have enough of those to last me a lifetime, along with the rare but occasional new song. But the yearly wrap-up of my most played songs is kind of fascinating to me, as previously mentioned. I was looking at my top played songs of 2020. This is when I was working my first nursing job at a very acute and very intense county psych hospital. I mean, it was rough, as wild as you can imagine, but it trained me for anything. It was awful, but there was plenty of rewarding moments. Awful, but some rewarding moments. That kind of sounds like life. But anyway, 2020 was my final year working at county, and a couple of songs that I listened to a lot just kind of sum up that year. The first one was The Kinks' Better Things from the album Give the People What They Want from 1981. I would literally listen to that song a lot on my way to work at like 6:15 in the morning, and I was kind of praying in a way. To paraphrase Bob from the book Drugstore Cowboy, I would be like, God, son, devil, whoever you are up there, I'm in hell right now, but I'm doing it, and I'm praying for better things. I'm a good guy, more or less. Can you please help me hear my plea and get me out of here at some point? And to paraphrase Conan, and if you do not listen, then the hell with you. But alas, I did get out of county. I worked there for exactly 2 years and then moved on up to Palo Alto, then back to LA, then back to Palo Alto, and now back in LA for good. But the other song I listened to a lot and still do is the song The Bliss from the Danish rock band Volbeat from their 2016 album Seal the Deal and Let's Boogie. It's kind of rocking and pretty catchy. It's just very anthemic. So now for an episode of The Story Behind the Song, a registered trademark of You Are My Density, LLC. Every once in a while at county, I would play songs on the computer for patients, and this one patient who had just come from jail was a fairly angry, volatile, slightly menacing dude, and for some reason, I get along with those types. I think people can recognize that, you know, I'm always trying my hardest, I don't have all the answers, and I'm a bit of a mess myself. So he kind of became friendly in the hospital. And generally, when a psychiatric patient would recommend a song or a band to me, I would listen to it for a bit and generally think to myself, okay, this really sucks. But I would be like, oh, hey, that's pretty cool. So me and this guy were talking about bands. He was kind of into metal, and he mentioned the band Volbeat, who I had never heard of. So both of us were sitting in his hospital room, and I played the song The Bliss on my phone. And pretty much from the start, I was just like, damn, this is good. It's got some really good hooks. And I still listen to it once in a while. And whenever I do listen to the song, I always think about this patient. I used to go get him clothes from the donations pile. I got him some really big, cool-looking jacket, and he loved it, and he wore it all the time. And they usually would put me as his nurse. And I got to know him so well that I could kind of sense when he needed medication, like, you know, PRN stuff. So on the day he was discharged, I walked him out, and we shook hands. He gave me a hug, and he said, thanks, man. His demeanor was, like, quite dulled and flat, probably from the medication regimen. But I was like, okay, that was a nice moment. I helped him out, and in a way, he helped me out. I mean, you never know what happens to patients after they leave the hospital. You wish for the best, but you know for some of them that it will end badly. But I hope he's doing well. And the best psych nurses that I've seen, they give a lot of themselves, and often they don't get much back. I mean, that's okay. It's not about the nurse. It's about the patient. But when you do get something back, it is rewarding. And speaking of mental illness, let's mention the passing of a pop music genius, Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. The gifted but troubled songwriter started hearing voices around the age of 25. And with success and money, and I think just to escape these voices, he started to self-medicate with copious amounts of marijuana, psychedelics, and cocaine. Not a great mix when you're having mental issues. And therein lies the rub. You're depressed, you're manic, you're bipolar, you're schizophrenic, you're hearing voices, and you turn to illicit drugs to escape all that shit, but it's only a temporary solution, and you always end up more fucked up at the end of the day. And yes, I understand the allure of drugs, but when someone is doing like a ton of drugs or like mountains of coke, that's not glamorous, and they're not having fun. I mean, it's just a way to like obliterate themselves. And I get it, but hopefully they get through that period and they move on to some healthier addiction because you got to replace one addiction with another. Brian Wilson was eventually diagnosed with a schizoaffective disorder, and a steady diet of an antidepressant, some clonopin, and Clozaril at night kind of balanced him. And Clozaril is no joke. That is a real fucking medication when nothing else seems to work. And I'm sure you've explored the Beach Boys, man. They have some amazingly catchy songs. We all know their big hits, of course, and God Only Knows is one of the greatest songs around. But check out Breakaway, or Time to Get Alone, or This Whole World. So anyway, rest in peace, Brian Wilson. His brother, Carl Wilson, is buried at, yes, Pierce Brothers Memorial in Westwood. His other brother, Dennis Wilson, who drowned in Marina Del Rey, supposedly drunkenly looking for his wedding ring, was buried at sea. Interestingly, non-veterans are not allowed to be buried at sea unless cremated, but Dennis Wilson was allowed to be buried at sea due to the intervention of Ronald Reagan. It's weird how such a poppy band as the Beach Boys descended into such darkness and madness, but that's kind of the way things go. A mixture of talent, money, drugs, and mental illness will inevitably do that to you. And hey, here's a joke. Yes, you've heard a variation on it, I'm sure. But hey, isn't everything, every movie, every song, really just a variation of a theme? Anyway, picture like a New Yorker-style cartoon. We see a bar. It's called Make It a Double, Singles Lounge. There's some outdoor seating, and two mushrooms are sitting at a table with drinks. The one mushroom says, "How would I describe myself? Well, I consider myself a pretty fun guy." Get it? Fun guy? Fun guy? F-U-N-G-I? Okay, moving on. Hey, how about some quotes I read and a recent article? You know, some weeks there's just not a lot of gas left in the tank. But inspiration is just around the corner. I can feel it. Is that you, inspiration? No, it wasn't. Anyway, a couple of pretty compelling quotes. I read an article about someone who was being hanged, probably wrongly, in Syria. And before he was hung, he said to his executioners, "I'm going to tell God what you did." Wow, I mean, that is just piercing. Here's another wartime quote, I think from someone in Afghanistan, but it really could fit with any kind of war of attrition, aka Vietnam, you know, between like a modern advanced power that is fighting against an absolutely devoted and driven force that just will not quit. And the quote is, "You have the watches, but we have the time." And I read a cool quote from the English psychoanalyst Donald Winnicott. "It's a joy to be hidden and a disaster not to be found." Man, that guy just nailed that dichotomy. It's kind of how I feel about this podcast, really. I like having a small number of devoted listeners, but at the same time, there's a part of us that always wants to be recognized. And in closing, you know, working in psych, it's really obvious that life can be a struggle. And while the answer may ultimately come from within, we are hardwired to be around other people, to share experiences, to commiserate, to help, to love. There's an interesting sounding book by Laura Delano, who has dealt for a long time with mental illness. The book is called Unshrunk, A Story of Psychiatric Treatment Resistance, a nicely done title, by the way. The book review by Casey Schwartz ends with a great paragraph, and we will end the podcast with it. Delano makes a more universal point, one that bears repeating and applies not only to mental illness, but to the struggles of daily life. We're built for tribes and villages and neighborhoods and potluck dinners. We're meant to feel it all and bear it all together.